In the UK, the British Nationals is the highest level of competition, and entry to it is determined by your eligibility, which requires you to have obtained a pilot or advanced pilot rating, have achieved a certain rank in either the British Paragliding Cup or an equivalent competition, and to have flown to a defined goal. The way the competition is set up is that there are two or three rounds, and collectively these are the British Nationals. Only advanced pilots who hold a UK FAI licence are eligible to compete. Each round is also an open, and entry to the open is for a wider group of pilots, both from the UK and abroad. The terminology with opens and nationals can be a bit confusing, but the competition and rounds are usually referred to as the British Nats. In 2009, I decided to enter the British Open for the first time. Not being advanced pilot rated, I was only eligible for the open, and I chose to go to the Piedrahita round, just to dip in my toes and see what it was all about. I went with the aim of learning as much as I could, given I would be flying with the British elite. A friend advised me that it was the best value guiding paragliding holiday you could get. Transport to launch, weather and sight briefings, task setting, retrieves, the social scene and a t-shirt, all for the bargain price of £170. It's very doubtful that you would get that from a commercial outfit. That sealed it for me. I signed up and I was thrilled to be accepted amongst the ranks of the competitors. For this podcast, I spoke to fellow first-time British Open attendees Martin Dockrell, Wendy Griffiths and Simon Twiz about their experience and what they got out of the comp. All of us seemed to have the same objective, not to be last. Luckily, we all achieved that goal. I started by asking them why they'd decided to enter the Nats. Here's Martin.
It was just another sort of facet I wanted to sort of get into my flying, really. I heard it was a good way of improving flying skills. And a good way of discovering new areas. And British Championships in particular, because whilst I don't live in the UK, I decided my first comp, it would be easier to do my first comp in the language I understood more fully, I suppose. And so I'd rather do a British competition than maybe one of my local French competitions. I thought the Nationals would be good because it was obviously going to be of a high standard. Not that I thought I was going to be, you know, obviously going to be able to compete, but I knew that I'd be flying with, you know, the top British pilots, and so from a learning point of view, you know, it would probably be the best way of learning. And also it was going to be both rounds really were flying sites that were world class during the period of the year that was going to be kind of world class conditions as well. So it just seemed a good, you know, good way of getting into it. And whilst it was all a bit scary to start with, thinking, gosh, you know, I'm going to be flying with, you know, the likes of the British champion, etc., etc., in fact that didn't matter at all in the end. You know, it was all very matey and easy to get, you know, get involved in. I wasn't really sure what to expect, to be honest. I was very pleased with it. I found everyone very friendly, first of all, the organisers, all the competitors, everyone was happy to give advice. I felt it was very well organised. The guys there did a great job of keeping us posted. Certainly, you know, the first couple of days, as you know, Judith, the weather didn't really play ball with us. There's a lot of wind, so, you know, it was cancelled very early on, which gave us the rest of the day to sort of do stuff. And then when the competition did start, I felt that the committee was good and the tasks were great. And the flying was great. So, yeah, I was very pleased with how it all went, really, from that point of view. And on a personal level, I was reasonably pleased as well, really. My main target for the competition was, not to bomb out before we'd even started. So I managed to achieve that, although I nearly bombed out once. And then just to enjoy it, really, try and make goal at least once, which I managed to do. As you know, well, same day as you, and just to have fun really, and learn as much as I could, and you know, all that really, I sort of exceeded expectations, I suppose, really.
So, I mean, you went to both rounds. So, having done one, you then managed to do the second one. Did you find the experience different? You know, once you'd kind of done one and knew what to expect, or was it pretty much the same?
It was. I mean, obviously run by the same people, so it was. Organisation-wise, it was again very well organised. I was much more relaxed second time round, partly because I'd done it all before, I suppose, and I was sort of knew the procedure and was organised in terms of, you know, getting ready for the comp and that kind of stuff and organising each day. But also it was in the mountains, which is more my thing really. So I didn't do quite so much research into the flying because I didn't really need to. So it was kind of similar, you know, different flying in the mountains, different conditions, lots of very different sort of tasks of the peat each round. But yeah, again, very well organised, very, you know, very similar really to the Spanish round, and pretty much the same bunch of people there as well.
Here's Wendy describing why she entered.
A few reasons, really. Last year I did the BP Cup and quite enjoyed that. and I wanted to, this year I wanted to do a lot more flying, and therefore I got a camper van and decided to travel around France and Spain. And by doing competitions, it meant that I could push myself and get retrieved, which was which was very good.
Here's Simon describing his expectations and what he got out of the competition.
My main objective was not to come last, and as it turned out, I was in the top half, which I was frankly amazed by. In the past, I've always tried to fly far too fast and had a bad day and then got cheesed off and had a terrible competition. So this time, I was really just out for a paragliding holiday in company with other gliders, really, and took it easy, went into the first day and just thought, let's not screw up, and didn't, and did pretty mediocre. But it gave me something to build on and just maintain my position, really, in how many task days do we have? I think six. A good sort of mediocre result every day ends up with a really... overall, a pretty good position. I think the secret of success really is to not screw up.
I did quite a lot of preparation in trying to fly in different areas in fairly rough conditions, and I'd learnt to use my GPS quite well. Here's what the others learnt.
Well, obviously, I learned about the competition format. That was the first thing. You know, I learned the difference between race to goal and elapsed time, and all that kind of stuff. Even though we didn't do any elapsed time tasks. I learned how a GPS worked properly. Learned a couple of sort of flying things, like, for instance, I had a bad day on, I think, the third day, where I went down at 30K, and mainly because I was hanging around in a very kind of weak thermal, and the other couple of guys in my thermal went off to the next thermal, which we could see in the distance because there was a gaggle there, and they all climbed out. And by the time I got there, the thermal had gone, or I'd lost it, or I haven't been able to find it, and that was it. I was on the deck. So I kind of learned, if you see... stronger lift elsewhere, then just go for it. There's no point missing about, really. I suppose one other thing is you do learn to thermal better, because there's so many people marking every thermal that you can tell who's climbing well and who's not, and that certainly improves your kind of turning and thermaling abilities, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I learned to thermal in a right-hand direction as well, because I don't normally do that.
I found how to use my GPS because, like the BP cuff, it's usually quite simple tasks, and I can just say go to, and then it's the goal field. But with the nationals, it's a bit more complicated, and you've got more turn points, so you've got to be able to learn how to use your GPS. So that was good. With flying with other people, I think I have to have more confidence about flying myself and try and do that a bit more and try and get a bit more comfortable with that for next year. But yeah, I thought that, the safety is high on the list, so, you feel safe.
And here's Simon.
Fly consistently, not take too many risks, or take calculated risks at the right time, know when to hang back and when to push on.
I asked Martin what he thought the best bit was.
Best bit of the first competition for me was making flying 100K, because I'd never done that before. And even though I didn't make goal that day, I knew I'd broken 100K as I landed, and that was, looking back on it, was probably the best feeling of the two comps, actually. Obviously, making goal was always nice. Well, I say always, twice. twice out of, I think, nine tasks. But that was a good feeling. Particularly, there was one day in the second round in Saint-Jean where my gaggle kind of went down at about the halfway point. I was the only one left, so I flew the last 40K all on my own. It was quite a struggle by that time. And I managed to get into goal that day, and that was quite nice. It's a bit like just flying XC on my own, really, but with an obvious route to follow. And some of it's quite scary because we went off down the Dormier's Ridge towards Tête de l'Estrop, that kind of direction, and it's pretty hairy terrain. And while you can land out, you're flying on your own, and I probably wouldn't have normally gone down there, to be honest, but had to finish the task, and so therefore did it. So that was quite a nice feeling when I got into goal, even though I was about 2 hours behind the leaders. It was still one of the events that I remember. And I guess the other thing was just meeting loads of people, really. You meet loads of people you've either met before, so you see them again, or, I met lots of new people, made a few friends, chatted to a lot of people. So it was quite nice, just having a week of doing that kind of thing, really, and immersing myself in flying.
This is what Wendy thought.
I think it's got to be when I did a 42K flight at Saint-Jean, which is like my second longest flight. It was just great. I mean, the I remember flying down the ridge and coming back, and seemed to be on my own. And then it was like going over the lake to Morgan, and I was like, oh no. But, you know, if it wasn't for the competition, I probably wouldn't have pushed myself that far. But after I landed, you know, it was like fantastic. Yeah, that was really good. So, you know, it makes you want to do it again.
This is Simon talking about what he thought of the competition generally.
We're surprised how good a holiday it was. I took along my wife and my daughter, and there's quite a lot to do around there. We had all sorts of things on the campsite. We'd go down to the lake and go swimming and a bit of rock climbing at Gap. It was an all-round great holiday, really.
If you were meeting a friend in the pub and they said to you that they were considering doing the Nationals, what advice would you give them?
Just go out and have fun, really. It's easy going to a competition like that, particularly the Nationals, which is a kind of the main competition for the UK pilots, to be a bit psyched out quite often. You turn up. I don't really know that many paraglider pilots who turn up, and most of them are complete strangers, and I'm going to do embarrassingly badly. And if you relax and also don't screw up on the first day, I would add, then you'll probably do a lot better than you expect. But the main thing is to enjoy it. As you say, it's a great opportunity to go out and do some flying amongst people who really know what they're doing. So, and the task setters are generally fairly safety aware. They won't send you into places which you're really going to get yourself into trouble. Yeah, relax, and you'll probably have a great time and do a whole lot better than you expect. Also, I'd say read the rule book before you go. The mistake I did in the 2001 competition, which I was quite almost relieved to see people make the same mistake this year. In fact, about 5 or 10 people made the same mistake, which is the start gate is a cylinder, I think of about 5K radius around a turn point. But then the first turn point is the turn point in the middle of that cylinder. And what I did in 2001 and what 10 people did this year is they got to the edge of the start gate, and the GPS said they were across the start line. Then they did a 180 and went straight for the second turn point, not really realizing that they had to go all the way to the 408-meter radius around the turn point in the middle of the start cylinder. And this is a classic gotcha. And if you get it wrong on the first day, which is when most people get it wrong, it really spoils your score. I think it's in the rule book somewhere. It's always mentioned rather fleetingly at the briefings, but you really have to be paying attention to, if you're new to it, to realise that's what you have to do.
Here's Wendy's advice.
Well, make sure you know how to use GPS, because it can be really off-putting if you don't know and you're looking at it and you're not concentrating on flying. But basically, just give it a go. Don't worry about competing. Just fly for yourself and make sure, you know, try and stay in the air as long as possible. And you know, if you try and push yourself, you can be on the ground. It's not much fun. It's very similar to BP Cup. I mean, if you do something like that or a competition here, I mean, there's not a great deal of difference, except for you probably will be doing more flying. There might be more pilots. I think doing the BP Cup really helped, especially when there's non-flyable days. You know, they sit down and they'll go through how it all works. So, you know, with the Nationals, it's sort of, you're almost expected to know a little bit anyway, you know, where it's all not so new. So I think it really did help.
And here's what Martin thinks.
Well, first of all, do it. I mean, you won't regret it. You know, it's such good fun. You learn a load. You go flying in places you'd never probably go. It's a bit like being on a sort of one of these sort of guided flying holidays, really, except you're being guided by, you know, the best pilots in the country, and it's a lot cheaper, you know, and you've got all your retrieves thrown in and everything else, and you've got 120 other flying mates to go with. So it's, from that point of view, you know, I would say to anybody who's interested, just go and do it, you know. And it may be a bit intimidating at first, but after the day one or day two, you'll be over that, and it would just be really good fun. And I guess for anyone who's actually decided they're going to do it, it's just to kind of be a bit prepared, really. You know, make sure you know your GPS. I mean, it sounds obvious, really, but you know how that works. Do some research on where you're going flying. Check out a few of the tracks, you know, you can find on the internet. Look at some maps, that kind of stuff. Make sure you've got all your kit with you before you go. You know, lots of batteries, pens, bits of paper, maps, all that kind of thing, so that when you get there, you're ready to go flying, really. You're not faffing about. you know, looking for stuff, borrowing stuff. But yeah, they just do it. You know, it's just good fun.
I would highly recommend anyone thinking about going to the Nationals or the Opens to give it a go. I think it certainly helps if you have some previous competition experience through, for example, the BPC or the Ozone Opens. These comps will teach you a lot about tasks, GPS use and tactics, and it lets you focus on the higher level tasks rather than still worrying about the basics. I certainly had loads of fun and I'm looking forward to doing it all again this year.